Let me begin this morning by sharing with you the definition of barbecuing. It's been said to be the only type of cooking a real man will do. When a man volunteers to barbecue, the following chain of events is put into action. The husband lights the grill. The more fire, the better. Right? The man lights the grill. The wife goes to the store. The wife fixes the salad, the vegetables, and the dessert. The wife prepares the meat for cooking and places it on a tray along with the necessary cooking utensils and takes it to the husband, who is lounging beside the grill. The husband places the meat on the grill. The wife goes inside to set the table and check the vegetables. The wife comes out to tell the husband the meat is burning. The husband takes the meat off the grill and hands it to the wife. The wife prepares the plates and brings them to the table. After eating, the wife clears the table and does the dishes. Everyone praises the husband and thanks him for his excellent grilling skills. The husband, in his prideful foolishness, asks the wife how she enjoyed her night off. And upon seeing her annoyed reaction, concludes, "There's just no pleasing some women." Someone has written, "When it comes to men, they fall into four groups of bones. There are the wish bones. They're the ones who spend their time wishing someone else would do the work. There are the jaw bones, those who do all the talking, but very little else. There are the knuckle bones, the ones who knock everything anyone else is trying to do. And then there are the backbones, those who shoulder the work, who do the carry the load, and get it done." Men, husbands, dads, which one are you this morning? Today is Father's Day, and I want to speak to you about a man in the Bible, a father, who is, I think, often overlooked. In some quarters, he is overshadowed by the prominence given to his wife. Now, that's not in and of itself a bad thing, it's just a fact. I'm talking about Joseph, the husband of Mary and the chosen father of Jesus. I don't think I've ever heard anyone preach a sermon just on Joseph. I know I haven't. We've mentioned him in Christmas sermons and that kind of thing, but just on Joseph. But I believe it's significant that even as God chose Mary to be the one who would give birth to the Son of God, so in His great wisdom He chose Joseph to be the father who would raise His Son. Mary and Joseph were chosen together to be Jesus' earthly parents. I remember a film released in 1983. It was one of those depressingly sad movies your wife forces you to sit down and watch with her, as she systematically makes and cries her way through an entire box of Kleenex. And at the end says, "That was so sad. Wasn't it wonderful?" The movie was, "Who Will Love My Children?" Based on a true story of an Iowa farm wife, Lucille Frey, and Margaret, which may kind of explain why I agreed to watch it. Ann Margaret played the role of Frey. She has 10 children and terminal cancer. She has been given a year to live. Her no-good alcoholic husband, Ivan, is not capable of raising them on his own, particularly in those days with no government assistance or Social Security, and she knows it. So as her last act on earth, she is determined to make sure her children have a secure future. And the heartbreaking plot is of this mother who goes out searching for loving parents who will care for each of her children. That was a task that had to be done while fighting and before she loses the battle with a disease that would take her from them. If you ever intend to watch this movie, be warned, it is definitely a king-size Kleenex box movie. But as I recall this film, it leads me to thinking about the birth of Jesus. Just like Lucille Frey, who loved her children so much, she wanted to personally choose the parents for them and not leave it to chance. Our Father God, in the same way, went looking for parents to raise His only begotten Son. He searched the earth and He found a young girl, a teenager, engaged to be married, a woman of whom the Bible says was highly favored. She was a choice young woman, a God-fearing young lady. We relive her story every Christmas, and I don't mean in any way, shape, or form to take anything away from Mary's place in the Incarnation, perhaps the most important and significant account in human history. But I do want to make note, God also went looking for a father. He called Mary and Joseph as a couple. When God chose Mary, she was already engaged to Joseph. They were a couple. And here's the point, I think. God is clearly demonstrating for us the role of a father is a most important role. Fathers are not only needed for the physical act of conceiving a child, they are also needed for the spiritual act of raising a child. Jesus, the Christ child, was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. A miracle took place, so there was no need for a man to be involved in the conception. But a man was still needed to fill the role of father in Jesus' childhood. And so Joseph was chosen. I mentioned to you a moment ago, we had four children. You just think in your mind how many you had in raising them and what joy that was. I didn't say that right. And what joy that was. That's the way I meant to say it. And then ask yourself this. What if God had said, Paul, I'm sending my only begotten Son to earth, and I want you to raise Him. God, what would I do? What would you do? Just as God had looked for a godly woman to give birth to the child, I believe He looked for a godly man to be His earthly father, who would help Him grow and nurture into a man. Remember, the Bible says of Jesus, He learned obedience as a man. Do you think Joseph ever had to spank Jesus growing up? Now that's extra biblical. Not in the Bible. But my holy imaginator says, I bet he made mama spank Jesus. I'm not laying a hand on that boy. I've heard the stories of Jesus going to church and some of the kids picking on him in Sunday school class. He'd meet them after church behind the church there where the horses were all tied up and turn them into frogs. Now that's extra biblical too. Okay? Not in the Bible. What an inspiring model of fatherhood Joseph was. God made a good choice. He is a wise God, isn't He? Let's look together this morning quickly at some things the Bible tells us about Joseph. There's not that much, but there's a whole lot in what little there is. First, I'd like for you to note with me that Joseph was a loving man. The Scriptures draw the picture for us of a wonderfully caring and affectionate man in this man Joseph. We see it in a couple of ways. We can see it first in his relationship toward Mary. Matthew 1:19, for example, reads, "Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." Now, if that doesn't sound so loving just yet, wait just a moment. Joseph finds out Mary is pregnant. Joseph has not had any divine revelation yet. What is he to think? What would you think? You've fallen in love with this pretty young girl. You do all the right things. You pursue her in the proper, customary ways. In stolen moments, you've talked with her about your dreams for your future together. A cottage with a white picket fence, a family, a business. And then, literally, out of the blue, this sweet girl you thought you knew so well tells you she's pregnant. Newly pregnant. And she is strangely excited about it. You don't know who the father is, but there is one person you know you can rule out. How does it make you feel? Angry? Betrayed? The penalty for adultery in the Old and New Testament times was death by stoning. Remember when the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus while he was teaching a group of people and made her stand right in front of all of them? And then they tried to school Jesus by reciting the law and its punishment for one like this, that she should be stoned to death. Jesus didn't say, "I don't care what the law says." Jesus acknowledged the law. He said, "You're right, that's exactly what it says." But he suggested what? "Let the one of you who is without any sin begin the stoning by casting the first stone." No rock party that day. Upon discovering Mary was pregnant, Joseph would have been obligated by the law to divorce her, to break off their engagement. And this would expose Mary and her family to public shame and humiliation, and Mary to death. But Joseph was kind in spite of everything else. He loved Mary. Perhaps he was thinking, "Well, maybe if I just put her away quietly, then she'd be free to go be with the child's father. They could be married quickly and the pregnancy would not be unexpected." And he'd take the fall for dumping her, breaking off their engagement or something. But whatever he was thinking of Mary. And husbands, the Bible says that we must love our wives with all we have. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Joseph was a loving man toward Mary. But we also see Joseph was a loving man in his relationship toward Jesus. When Jesus was born, the child Joseph had not conceived, there was no attitude in Joseph that this boy is not my flesh and blood. There was no resentment or indifference toward him, no lack of love at all. And as far as Joseph was concerned, Jesus was his own. He protected him from the hatred of Herod. He nurtured him and cared for him. Evidently, he taught Jesus his own trade of carpentry. You might say Joseph adopted the one the rest of the world would reject. By contrast, today we see men opting out of their role of fatherhood, even toward their own children. May I pause to give honor this morning to the Josephs among us, men who are taking up the mantle of being a father to children not biologically their own, and loving their mother as well as them, and raising them in the Lord. God bless you. Joseph was a loving man. Secondly, Joseph was a devout man. He was a righteous man. I say that because he was a man who obeyed God. He explicitly followed the Lord's leading and direction. He didn't follow his own marked out plan for life. He wanted and accepted God's plan for his life. So when God spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to marry Mary, even though she was pregnant, Joseph married Mary. And then God warned Joseph that Herod was going to search for Jesus to kill him and told him to take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and to stay there until God told him it was okay. He immediately obeyed. He closed up business and left. And when God said, "It's okay now, go home to Israel," Joseph did as he was directed. He was a man of obedience. He was a devout man as a man of faith. It takes faith to pack your bags and head off to a foreign country with no prospects and no planning, simply on the basis that God said so. He had faith and obeyed the dream. It had been over a year, possibly going on 2 years since Jesus was born. The wise men, the magi, the astrologers, came to visit them, not at the manger, but at their house. Herod wanted to kill all the babies. How old? 2 and under. Just to make sure he got Jesus. Joseph could have made excuses to stay where the prospects looked good, where his home and business were established. But no, he was leaning on God. As a man of faith, he obeyed. He was a devout man who was faithful in his spiritual duty. He set an example for his family. Keeping the law of Moses, he presented Jesus at the temple on the 8th day for circumcision. He presented him to the Lord as the firstborn and offered a sacrifice according to the law, going to the temple, attending feasts annually. He was regular in going to God's house. Did you hear about the little boy that was playing on Sunday morning while his dad was in a lounge chair reading the Sunday paper? Finally, the father said, "Son, you need to get yourself ready for Sunday school." The little boy asked, "Are you coming with me today, Dad?" And Dad replied, "No, I'm not coming, but I want you to hurry up and get ready." So the little boy asked, "Did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a boy, Dad?" And he said, "I most certainly did." As he walked away, the boy mumbled, "Yeah, I bet it won't do me any good either." That's both funny and sad, isn't it? John Luffman penned this poem many, many years ago. "Daddy had a little boy, his soul was white as snow, but he never went to Sunday school because Daddy wouldn't go. He never heard the word of God that thrills the childish mind. While other children went to class, this child was left behind. As he grew from babe to youth, Dad saw to his dismay, a soul that once was snowy white became a dingy gray. Realizing his son was lost, Dad tried to win him back. But now the soul that once was white had turned an ugly black. Dad even started back to church and Bible study too. He begged the preacher, 'Isn't there a thing that you can do?' The preacher tried but failed and said, 'We're just too far behind. I tried to tell you years ago, but you paid me no mind.' And so another soul is lost that once was white as snow. Sunday school might have helped, but Daddy wouldn't go." Dad, our kids are watching our faithfulness. I love that song we sang this morning, but it's so challenging. Oh, may those who come behind us find us faithful. So let's recap for a moment. Joseph was a loving man toward his wife and toward his son. Secondly, he was a devout man, a man of obedience and faith, and faithful in his spiritual duty. And finally, he was also a pretty wise man. Now listen to me carefully here. Joseph was wise because he lived as one who redeemed the time. By all accounts, it seems that Joseph had a shortened life. We don't read of him after Jesus' childhood. And at the cross, Jesus charged John with the care of his mother. So it seems Joseph was taken from them prematurely. But Joseph used what time he had been given wisely. He had provided for his family. He has set an example they would remember. He raised and nurtured them in the admonition of the Lord. Jesus was not the only child Mary and Joseph had. Mary and Joseph, according to Mark chapter 6, verse 3, had other sons and daughters. And at least two of them were greatly used by God as well. James and Jude both wrote books that found their way into our Bible. James was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Joseph raised his children in the ways of the Lord, and he left behind a spiritual legacy. Fathers, none of us know just how much time we have left with our children. None of us know how much time we have left with our family. We are called upon to redeem the time. Are we? As Joseph did? Encouraging our families at every opportunity, setting an example, going to church with them instead of taking them to church and dropping them off, protecting and providing for their needs, and some will say defensively, oh yes, I provide for my family, when what they mean is I bring home a paycheck. What about the other provisions they, your wife and your children, need from you? What about affection? I cannot tell you how many dad's funerals I've held that children have said, he never told me he loved me. Well, they know it, and mom's left to explain it. Well, your dad loved you. He was proud of you. Wish he had said so. It would have been nice. Some of you understand exactly what I'm talking about. What about the example? What if they did like you did? How many of you remember that song we grew up with about the silver spoon? And my son had grown to be what? Just like me? What if your son, your daughter, grew up to be just like you? What about godly counsel? If we don't teach them the ways of the Lord, others will teach them the ways of the world. What about laughter and warmth? Is your home, are you making it? Did you make it? Can you make it a place your kids enjoy being? A place your wife enjoys being? Loving and concern about them? I've often said, we got a lot of teachers here, so please don't take offense to this, but I've often said, if you've been to one PTA meeting, what? You've been to all of them. But I'll tell you what, we went to them, and we went particularly to the teacher conferences, mostly because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one who thought my kids were nuts. But we wanted to know who was teaching our kids and what they were teaching them. We went to more than one meeting that was not scheduled over events at the school. It may have embarrassed our kids at the time, but they knew that we cared about them. This man, Joseph, inspires me. I'm sure he wasn't perfect, and neither am I. But he was devoted. He was doing his very best, redeeming the time he had. And I'm trying. How about you? Happy Father's Day. Let's see if we can't be a little more at least like Joseph in our lives. Father God, first I want to thank you in your wisdom for choosing Mary and Joseph. And then I want to thank you in a very selfish way for not choosing me. Wow. I don't know what I'd do if you said, David, I want you to raise the Son of God. But when I pause and think about it, that is what you asked me to do. You asked me to raise four children of God. And my prayer is that somewhere along the road, some way, we did enough that we have placed their hands into yours now that they've left our home. We pray that we have raised them in the admonition of the Lord, and that as they grow old, they won't depart from it. I pray that the seeds we've planted deep in their hearts will continue to be watered by those around them as they grow into their own families. And with their own children, that they will see more and more the importance of leading them to their Heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, that each of us will look to You and to the examples You've left us in the Scripture, examples like Joseph, of how we can be better fathers. Having said that, I pray that as a child, before my dad passed, I hope he knew by my words and actions that I really loved him and appreciated every effort and sacrifice he made for me. And so I pray that every child in this room who still has a mom or dad with them will truly just say the words, "Dad, I love you. Mom, I love you. I appreciate everything you've done and the sacrifices you made, and probably many, many, many hundreds of things that I'm not even aware of that you do for me every day." It's Father's Day. As our little video showed, we were called to be courageous. David's dying words to his son Solomon were, "Be strong and prove yourself a man." So this morning, Father, I call on all of our fathers here to be strong. Prove yourself a man. Prove yourself a man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.